Afternoon, it's 3 p.m. Weather for the listening area, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Partly sunny with a high of around 91, a 30% chance of showers this evening with a low of 76. On Friday, about the same thing, a 50% chance of showers throughout the day. Currently, it is partly cloudy. 88 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll be joining Daryl Bork with his From the Poet's Bookshelf segment. At 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We start by going to the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Tika Loden and Al Godoy from Louisiana Public Broadcasting. So happy that you all made the trip across the basin today to talk to us. You are the producers of the film Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood that will premiere this Sunday on LPB. We're all very excited about it this year. Everyone's been so filled with information and excitement about Louisiana and our history, and you all have created this very special film for us. You also led the team that created the award-winning six-part series, Louisiana History. So you had a lot to choose from. You obviously have immersed yourselves in this subject for quite a while. So congratulations on the film. I'm sure you're quite pleased that it's out and will premiere on Sunday. Well, tell us just a bit about
On Monday. Yes, Monday at 7.
All right, Monday at 7. Thank you. I've got my dates one day off here. So on Monday, you'll be able to see it on LPB and on WLAE on Tuesday the 14th.
Correct.
Okay. Well, tell us just a bit about your work on Louisiana history. When did you start working together on, you've obviously worked together a long time, but on this particular subject, Louisiana history and events that have created Louisiana as a state, when did you first start working on that topic?
Seventh grade, maybe.
Together?
Louisiana history.
Yes.
Well, you know, Al and I have worked together for, 15 years at least? Mm-hmm. And let me add another name here who's not with us. It's UL Professor Charles Richard, who was a writer on the project mm-hmm. with us. And the three of us have worked together for a number of years in another number of historical projects.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the seventh grade, because for so many of us, that was the last time we really read about Louisiana history. Seventh or eighth grade, middle school here in Louisiana, you learned about Iberville and a timeline, and then that was really the last time you thought about it. So this year has been fabulous for those of us who had forgotten everything we learned that year. Is this something that you retained as an interest, Tika?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You said welcome for coming across the basin. Mm-hmm. Thanks for welcoming me back home, because mm-hmm. I grew up here. Al's lived in New Orleans. You know, I was mm-hmm. born in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so we're Louisianans who love the work that we do, who love the culture and the history of our state, the literary culture, the music culture, the all aspects of Louisiana's rich diversity and history. And doing this project, you know, this is, you mentioned the Louisiana History Series, which is something that we began in, I think, production on in 1999, and it was for the celebration of the bicentennial of Louisiana Purchase. And that ended basically in the year 2000. What this program differs in is that, in addition to going back to 1812 and these thematic units that we chose to structure this program with, we also pick up from that time and a lot of more current events, both environmentally, politically, economically, that have occurred since.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those people who were not able to see that series, kind of walk us through it and give us the scope of what you presented in that series, because it is available and people can find it and purchase it, rent it. And so tell us just a bit about what's included in that series.
Well, the series, six 1-hour parts, and it tells the history of the state. As Tika mentioned, we took it up to about the year 2000, but we talked a little bit about prehistory and the Native Americans who lived here before the European conquest, and but most of the time was spent from the point when Louisiana was the mouth of the river basically was discovered, and so the whole of the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. That was a great project. It was tremendously interesting and informative and full of surprises for us in terms of you were talking about forgetting things, mm-hmm. but and going sort of beyond the usual suspects that you read about and maybe learned in grade school. We also had the opportunity in that project to go through extensively many, many archival resources all around the state, and that was a great learning experience for us in terms of seeing who had what, and that proved to be extremely helpful in the making of the bicentennial statehood documentary. Also, we had the opportunity to meet a number of people who were not just experts in the field of history, but who were actual participants in history. So these were folks who themselves were a part of the history that we were telling. And so we were able to incorporate a lot of the lessons that we learned in the making of that documentary into this one, and it made our life a lot easier. And actually, I think it made it possible to do this current project in the very short timeline that we had to work with.
Mm-hmm. The series covered 4 centuries and 6 hours, so you can imagine the things that you didn't put into it. You know, the things that we did use were very rich and very comprehensive in nature. But, you know, in 4 centuries and 6 hours, much like this one, 200 years in 1 hour, it's really tough to decide what not to use. And it's almost like you're not deciding what not to use, but what you are using, suddenly you look behind and go, oh, gosh, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about that person or that area, or I should have brought that location out more. And there's just only so much you can do. And
right. It could have ended up being a 20-hour series.
Well, who would watch it, you know? But, you know, I think it's more of a matter of, you know, the thematic units were chosen because you couldn't do – we didn't feel we could do a linear approach to 200 years and have it maintain any kind of dramatic arc or have any kind of thematic context to the content. And it was, you know, statehood, military and defense, politics, art and culture, commerce and industry, and disaster and recovery. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, those six seem to be inclusive of a lot. And the highlights, and again, just what the highlights, and that's not decisions that Al and I and Charles made so much. It's decisions that we ran by scholars, and they helped us sort of, okay, you really have to do this, and okay, you cannot do this time because there's not enough time or room to go into it and introduce it.
It's interesting, but...
Yes, mm-hmm. Interesting but.
Well, what was the most interesting for the two of you? What were some surprising things that you discovered either through resources or scholars that you spoke to? What was the most delightful or surprising information that you came across that was personally maybe rather interesting? I'm sure there were many moments.
Well, one thing in particular, you know, we love KRVS and love being here. And so we spent a couple of hours here with Michael Doucet telling great stories and demonstrating great little ditties and little tunes that went along with the different eras in time as he traveled through the eras with it. Of course, you know, we ended up using just a couple of minutes and talked about Dennis McGee and Amadé Ardoin. But there's so much more that we could have done. And the generosity of Anne Savoy, who helped us collect some of the materials that we needed for that one section, you know, but we could have gone so much further. And the surprise, the most gratifying, I think, for me, you talk to these people and you see what their lives are like, particularly in light of the tremendous storms and the devastations that has happened here since the year 2000, we finished 2003, since we finished the other program, that the incredible resilience of people and the incredible devotion and dedication they have to their neighbors and their families in this place that everyone calls home.
Mm. Well, and Al, you're from New Orleans. Were there things about New Orleans that you wanted to make sure were included or that you discovered about New Orleans in the making of those films?
Well, I will first of all say second Tika's account here and say that the meeting of the characters and the people is, I think, the primary thing that is always the most interesting. But in terms of learning about New Orleans, one thing that was discovered actually during the making of the six-part series, but we used a lot of the this information in some of the interviews that we shot for that first series in the Bicentennial documentary. The incredibly important and central role that New Orleans played in the Allied victory over the Axis in World War II. And this was something that one of the great things, opportunities we had was to interview Stephen Ambrose, and who was a noted historian, especially relating to World War II. And he had been told by Eisenhower that Andrew Jackson Higgins was the man who won the war. And so this is an amazing fact, and something that was said by one of the scholars in the Bicentennial documentary. Every amphibious landing that was made during World War II, the troops were unloaded on the beaches from boats made in New Orleans. And I think we all know the importance of D-Day and the Pacific amphibious landings and all the atolls and islands in the chains of islands leading up towards Japan. And it's just mind-boggling that, this was a man, a New Orleans man, who was building boats for the oil and gas industry in the swamps of Louisiana, and came up with a design that really was a significant factor in the victory. So that was a real interesting little thread that we followed.
Absolutely. I'm sure there are a lot of people hearing that right now. It's very moved by that, not having known that. Mm-hmm. If you are just tuning in right now, my guests are Al Godoy and Tika Loden from Louisiana Public Broadcasting, here to talk about a new film that they produced called Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood. We're talking about a six-part series that they did a number of years ago, celebrating the Louisiana Purchase, and now we're celebrating a Louisiana statehood that happened a number of years afterwards. So you gathered a lot of material, some that had been somewhat unknown before, musicians who kind of basically took you through kind of musical time zones of our history, and put that into a series that I can only imagine is being used in Louisiana history classes around the state right now.
That's correct. Yes. And we've had a number of projects in teacher training that the universities have used the series in those Teaching American History grants. Mm-hmm. We also produced a very beautiful Louisiana illustrated history book and a very in-depth teacher guide, as well as website. And we worked with, in cooperation with the Bicentennial Commission and the Lieutenant Governor's Office, Jay Darden's, the Office of Cultural Recreation and Tourism, in producing this documentary. And they also created a very wonderful teacher's guide that goes along with this.
So you have forever changed the teaching of Louisiana history for all of us.
I don't know that we've ever changed it, but, you know.
And it may not be something that children will forget as quickly.
One of the advantages of the thematic approach that we used in the Bicentennial documentary is that because it's divided up into themes, so the hour is divided into these shorter segments, I think it makes the program more useful or more easier to use for teachers, so they have these sort of bite-sized segments that they can go to and use and with more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I want to tell people they can see it on Monday, August 13th on LPB, and August 14th on WLAE, if anyone's going to be watching on that channel. So tell us about these segments, just to give people a little hint and what they can expect to see, and how you have approached this, again, with this massive amount of material that you all have acquired.
Let me add one thing to you just said about the airing here in Acadiana as well. There will be French subtitles on the program, so that, you know, there's a French version of the program in sorts as well that will air. It will be simulcast, and they also will be streamed on the Internet. So, you know, really people all over can take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And so many students in French immersion here in this area, definitely something to take a look at and, you know, be able to read those subtitles and think about it en français.
Well, back to your question, the thematic units were obviously statehood, and we bring us from 1812 to current times. In military and defense, we began, we ended the first segment with the Battle of New Orleans, and then the next one, you know, we began with the Civil War. And we go through World War II, and we end with an amazing, bigger-than-life commander of the 256 here in Lafayette, who, as he said, rolled millions of miles over Iraq. Mm-hmm. And so that one little section tells a big story. You know, we don't go into World War I. We don't go into Vietnam. We don't go into Korea. We don't go into the Gulf War. There's so many things that we don't do in it. But the things that we do have in there are things that, based on advisements from the scholars, were, okay, you really have to explore this a little bit more because how important is it. For instance, you know, the maneuvers, the World War II maneuvers that happened in the western part of the state from Fort Pork at Leesville and DeRidder, the airport, the gunnery range there in Natchitoches, and all the training of the troops where people actually lost their lives here. And you had George Patton, you had Eisenhower here working on training troops for World War II.
And you have footage of them, stills?
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, we actually have footage mm-hmm. as well. There was some footage in there. There's one funny story about it. There's people would come and watch these games going on, these war games going on. And there was the Red Army and the Blue Army, and Patton's group and this other group were, you know, fighting for this bridge. And the winner of the bridge would have won this particular battalion's defense. Well, these kids were blowing up fireworks or firecrackers or something, and this army thought that, okay, they've captured the bridge, we surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, there were these kids. And there's one little scene in the show where you see this battle, mock battles going on, and you see a couple little kids in the woods in the background looking at it. And if you've seen the program enough, you can go, oh, that's that shot. Look at those children back there watching these war games going on. Mm. You know? But the other units, you know, like, you know, certainly politics, you know, we begin with Huey Long, you know, and we go through the current administration. Very briefly, you know, we talk, Chief Justice Catherine Kimball addresses the pendulum shift, the more conservative, the more Republican administrations that the legislature is in now. And, you know, we talk about Governor Blanco, the first woman, Governor Jindal, and then we move on into art and culture. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the art and the literature and the music. Dr. Michael White from Xavier University plays a little sample of different kinds of music for it. But, you know, he also was someone who lost everything during Katrina. All of his instruments, you know, vintage instruments, all of his music, all his collections. And he walks us through his home. And then in recovery, he talks about, you know, how with every ending, there's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And so even with the disaster and the intense loss, you know, there's this heartfelt hope mm-hmm. for the future.
Yeah, that does seem to characterize Louisiana.
It does.
It does. Resilient, as you said.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this was something you had asked before about surprises. One of the things that surprised me in the working on the six-part series, and this is reflected again in the interview with Michael White, is this hopefulness that people do have no matter what life throws at them. I'm thinking in particular of interviews that we did with people who suffered during the civil rights era. Suffered racial discrimination and had their dogs poisoned, had bombs go off in their homes. But they were just amazing in their positive outlook, and the future is, you know, there to work with. And this was true with Michael White. You know, he lost thousands of pages of sheet music and all these, you know, historical instruments. But he was looking ahead. That's great.
Well, just as you all are listing all of these parts and the subjects that you're dealing with, I begin to understand the complexity of trying to create this documentary. Again, I could imagine hours and hours and hours trying to address these subjects, but you've had to make them very concise and try and create a cameo that will give people a sense, a taste of what it means for us to be a state. But yet you're dealing with so much history, so much culture, so much culture. That, to me... alone. How did you fit all of that? Did you feel satisfied when you had finished the culture section?
No. Absolutely not. I wanted more. Yeah, I wanted more of the literary giants, you know, but you touch on these things and as we've talked about, you and I have talked about, and Al and I and Charles have explored over the years that it's so rich, it's so immense in, you know, what do you not say, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not so much what you don't say, it's what you need to say and how you move along with it. And cultural things, you know, look at Louisiana in the 1800s, particularly in the 1880s, what was coming out of here. You know, you have, you know, Cade Chopin, Lafcadio Hearn, George Washington Cable, Louis Morel Gottschalk. I mean, some of the absolute giants. At the same time, what's happening in the Western frontier? You know, when was Custer slaughtering Indians? You know, it in some of the same eras, and it's just, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
It was high culture in New Orleans.
Yeah, really, high economics as well, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And one of our scholars, Gary Joyner from LSU in Shreveport, you know, said to us, you know, Louisiana had everything going for it not to secede, but they couldn't get away from slavery. They just couldn't get away from it because, you know, we were with, you know, the economic giants of the nation.
Yeah. What a point to be making it clear to all of us. You know, there's a lot that seems confusing about Louisiana history, and it's really nice to have this document that you all have created. Again, if you have just tuned in, we're talking about the new documentary that will air on LPB on Monday, premiere on Monday, Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood. The producers, Tika Loden and Al Godoy, are with me in the KRVS studios, traversing the state to come and tell us more about it. Who are some of the literary giants that you're able to deal with in this documentary?
Well, we do mention Tennessee Williams, mm-hmm. and we do talk about Ernest Gaines, and there's an interview with James Lee Burke. There's an interview with James Wilcox from LSU right now, and we just talk about them very mm-hmm. briefly, you know. But I think one of my very favorite quotes in the whole show is from James Lee Burke when he says, "It is the most intriguing place I have ever been, and I think for an artist, a locale like Louisiana is an enormous gift." Mm. You know, and that I think that sums up this literary tradition here, that it writers feel like it's an enormous gift. And Wilcox says to us that basically it's people here like to talk. They like language. They like storytelling. Mm-hmm. And what a great place for a writer to be, to listen and to understand what people...
And obviously a great place for filmmakers, too.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, speaking about filmmaking, I mean, maybe, Al, you may want to address the incredible film industry that has evolved here,
well,
homegrown and out of state.
That's right. In the commerce and industry section, we talk about Louisiana trying to diversify its economic base beyond petrochemical industry. And one of those areas, in addition to medicine is the area of filmmaking. And traditionally, Louisiana has been a backdrop for films and really just background for the action. In more recent times, we've been able to attract a lot more activity beyond just being a backdrop, where a lot of the production is actually done here. And in Shreveport, there's a fellow named William Joyce who has an animation studio, Moonbot Studios, and employs about 30 or 40 young animators. And his shop produced an Academy Award-winning film, it's just amazing. This man could live anywhere in the country, but he's from Shreveport. He has chosen to make Louisiana his home base, and he is creating, you know, the nucleus of a media center in Shreveport, Louisiana. And that's fantastic. I know the Lafayette area has been very active in the area of digital media. The same is true in New Orleans. So these are very positive developments, and we covered that in the program.
Well, and I would have to say you all play a large part in that as well. I mean, for decades, Louisiana Public Broadcasting, through your talents and skills and determination, have been turning out amazing documentaries and films about Louisiana culture and aspects of our life in Louisiana, and really inspiring a lot of young people who perhaps there wasn't the industry yet, there weren't the means. There wasn't the degree that we have now here with Charles Richard to help them achieve those means to tell stories. But it was always there, always that example that you all have put out.
And there's some excellent independent filmmakers that have come out of here, you know, Connie and Allison for sure with, you know, that I always do my collars first. I mean, what a beautiful film. And their more recent piece on horseback riding and horse breeding and raising here in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful, beautiful work. Yeah. You know, there's those ladies are just amazing, and there's so many other, you know, Jared Arsimo. There's some beautiful work coming out here, and you know, for anyone who's listening, bring us your work. We'd love to see it. We'd love to consider airing it. You know, contact our executive producer Clay Fourier and send us what you have. We like to share it with as many eyes as possible.
Yes, and again, that continues that tradition at LPB. I know so many people around the state appreciating that. And this documentary in particular, you know, making us all realize just the quality that comes out of LPB and the depth of knowledge and filmmaking that you all have there. Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood, the producers with me, Al Godoy and Tika Loden. It will air, it will premiere this Monday, August 13th on LPB and August 14th on WLA. AE. And as you said, Tiki, it will be subtitled in French.
Correct.
And you can also stream it.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Something we haven't mentioned is a narrator. It's Harry Connick Jr. You know, we was thinking about what is the voice of Louisiana that we want for this. You know, in doing Louisiana History Series, we thought, well, this really needs to be a woman's voice because there's so many men that we talk to on camera that, you know, this we have to have a woman storyteller in. Obviously, that was Lynn Whitfield. She was just the perfect voice. For this one, we wanted a man, and we wanted, like, who do you think of when you think of someone's voice from Louisiana? Well, the first name that came out of everyone was Harry Connick Jr. So how do you get him? You know, you pick up the phone, you call the agent, you try to negotiate it, you wait for months, you pick up the phone to call someone else, and suddenly the phone rings. Hi, he'd like to do it. Oh, great, thank you. I'm out of time. Let's do it now.
The last piece in our puzzle.
Well, there's another project that we worked on that Al was a writer for, and it was then and now. It was 18 one-minute then and now pieces, like the Constitution in 1812, the Constitution now, the governor in 1812. Did you know that at that time the governor was not selected completely by the majority of votes? The two top vote-getters were presented to the legislature, and they decided which one was going to be governor. And, you know, then we talked about architecture and sound, what it sounded like in 1812, and what do we hear now? What are the sounds like now? And that's on camera, hosted by Faith Ford, an amazing Louisianan who's just so generous and so gracious. And so both of these voices and these characters brought a lot of tremendous life to this project.
Absolutely. Well, if people hadn't already noted it down in their calendars, they've just been convinced to do so. Harry Connick Jr. Narrating this amazing documentary, Louisiana, 200 Years of Statehood. For further information, people can go to the LPB website.
Absolutely.
Okay. And is that where they can stream it?
Yes.
And it will stream at the same time
correct.
As it premieres.
That's correct.
All right. So either in your computer or from anywhere in the world or on your television set, you can see Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood, and I assume at some point it will be available for sale, or is it already?
For donations.
For donations.
For
okay.
donations, correct. Okay. Something, and it's a non-commercial. You won't find it on the bookshelves or in the, you know, the video stores or anything like that, through the LPB and through the Bicentennial Commission for donations.
Okay.
One thing that I want to address, too, is LPB is joining with Harry Connick Jr. and Lieutenant Governor Jay Darden for a special musical program highlighting Louisiana's musical past and present. And everyone was, you know, relates to You Are My Sunshine, Jimmy Davis's song. And so we have various renditions of, you know, people doing that song and perhaps some other songs. And It'll be, you know, certainly, of course, Zachary Richard, Better Than Ezra, Trombone Shorty, Emma Thomas, Buddy Guy, Marcellus Family, Tim McGraw, Mickey Gilley. Zion Harmonizes, I think there are 13 that have agreed to do this project with us. And Harry Connick will be on camera narrating, and the program will close with Harry and his band actually doing a little parade with You're My Sunshine.
All right, beautiful.
That'll be fun piece.
Definitely. Find out more about it all at LPB. And again, premiering on Monday, August 13th, Louisiana 200 Years of Statehood. Thank you both, Tika Loden and Al Godoy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judith.